Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome back. Stewie Byrne is in studio. How are you?
Good, Nathan. I'm good.
Kev is still here as well. Dan McDonald's going to join us in a moment. He's down in Limerick, where Limerick are trailing Dundalk by 2-0 heading for half-time. Goals from John Mountney and Patrick Hooban for Dundalk, who, as it stands, will go 4 points clear at the top because Cork scoreless against Sligo Rovers at half-time in their game at Turner's Cross. So two live games in the League of Ireland. There's a lot to talk about though, Stewie, because it's been a couple of weeks since we looked at the League of Ireland. We're going to get into some of the interesting things that are happening off the pitch with Dan in a couple of minutes at Shelburne, which I know you're very interested in, and the change of ownership and change of structure at the club there, and also St. Patrick's Athletics, very ambitious plans for what they're going to do at Inchicore. But on the pitch, probably the main story has been Shamrock Rovers and the real struggle it's been over the last 3 or 4 days. Firstly, losing out to Bowes, 99th minute in the Dublin Derby, which is never going to go down well with the home supporters. But then, losing to Bray Wanderers last night, 1-0, Bray's first win of the season. What is going wrong at Shamrock Rovers? Because this was a season where maybe they weren't expected to win the title, but they were certainly expected to start putting up a bit of a fight.
Yeah, well, I think one of the areas where it has gone wrong or could certainly improve is probably the message that's coming from Stephen himself. He's kind of getting caught a little bit in this sort of, you know, it's a 5-year plan sort of stuff. And that's fine when it comes to the developing clubs and developing underage structures and things like that. Like, you know, that's something that League of Ireland clubs have not done very well, but they are certainly starting to get better at now. But it's okay. It's great, you know, to listen to a chairman come out or a director of football and speak about 5-year plans, but not the manager. You know, and not in League of Ireland. You know, you can put a team together quite quickly in this league and be very, very competitive very, very quickly. I mean, that's something that Stephen Kenny proved with the Dundalk team that he put together, and it's happened down the years. And because of the short contracts with players, again, it's very easy to kind of bring players in quite quickly. And I think they have a very, very strong squad. Now, the start of the season they got was obviously not to be expected. They went to Dalymount, they played a particular way, they decided to go quite direct. It worked in the first half when they were 1-0 up, and then it all just suddenly capitulated in the second half. And you could see there was sort of defensive issues there. There was a little bit naivety in that back 4-5. Don't think there's the 100% confidence in the goalkeeper, regardless of whether it's Chinsinski or Horgan. And that seems to be an underlying issue. However, to give them credit, I've seen them quite a bit this season away from home. I know you've seen them at home, and they've been decent at times. You take, for example, the Waterford game, which they lost out. They, you know, the silly sending off, you know, poor discipline costing them at the back. But they were making silly mistakes in that game as well. You know, there was naivety amongst the back four, left back making mistakes, snatching at balls, centre half snatching at balls, inviting pressure. And I think that's where they're going wrong. On the other side of things, they are playing some good football at times. I like to look at Dan Carr up front, and there's potential there. But ultimately, I think the message coming from the manager and the expectation on the players doesn't seem to be where I think it should be.
You touched on something there. You said talking about in the Bowls game going direct at times. That was the first game of the season, wasn't it? As well, So, like, you can shoot me down. I can't watch a lot of League Vans. Certainly can't watch the games. But I've watched games when I can. I watched the game on Friday night against Bowls again. And all I've heard over the last few years is the style of play that they're going to be playing at Rovers. They're certainly going to be a passing side. They're going to be building from the back. They're going to play football essentially in the right way, is what you've been told. Now, I watched them on Friday. I thought they were outplayed, outpassed against the Bowls side that played really well. I was really impressed with a lot of the Bowls players. Why are they playing the way that they're playing then? If there is that sort of style that they've actually trying to implement, then you're talking about a 5-year plan. Surely that should be in place now. Even if you're going to make mistakes, trying to play the right way, or is it just the nervousness that's within the side that they're not able to play that way?
I think they've been struggling to fit the right kind of front man into the way he wants to play. Now, I think Dan Carr is going to be that front man, but the first game of the season, when you think about it, they drew Bowes probably back in Christmas. So they could see, you know, 3 months ahead or 2 months ahead, Bowes. Didn't really probably have the personnel in place to play the way he wanted to play. So I'd say he made a decision right from quite early. We're going to be direct. We're going to play this way. We're going to try and get a win out of this. didn't work for them, and since then they've completely reverted back to a different style of play.
A different type from what the club's policy was that was being in place that we're hearing then. Sorry.
Yeah, and the point you make about Bowles is a really good point, because even though they haven't been getting the results, I've been saying it on the Soccer Public Show, I've seen Bowles again quite a bit, and I think they've been very consistent in the way they've played. Mm. Played really, really good stuff at times, especially even when they played down in Cork. They've stuck to that methodology, that style of play, and now they're starting to reap the rewards for that. So they've been consistent from the start, whether it's the chopping and changing with Rovers is not helping, I don't think.
Let's go down to Limerick, because Dan McDonnell is on the line. Evening, Dan.
Hi, guys. How are things?
So you're watching Limerick 0, Dundalk 2. Just talk us through the first half quickly.
Yeah, a bit of a non-event, really. I mean, it's a poor pitch down here. The Markets Field has sort of deteriorated a small bit, just a lot of use for rugby and so on, and it's not a great surface. And Limerick's home record this season has been okay. They drew with Cork here, but their form is suffering. They lost here to Sligo Rovers on Saturday, and from the early minutes here, Dundalk were well on top. The 2-0 up at halftime, two headers, one from Patrick Hooban, one from John Mountney. It was the other way around, so Mountney opened the scoring, but it's a mismatch, really. Dundalk are confident, generally controlling the ball pretty well. And once they got ahead, it was one of those games where you couldn't see Limerick coming back. We still got 45 to go, but I'm not expecting a dramatic second half.
Just one goal conceded for Dundalk in 10 and a half games now. So they could be, depending if results stay as they are, they'd be 4 points clear of Cork at the top. They would be 11 points clear of Shamrock Rovers. So I think we can already rule Rovers out of a race for the title this season. Just talking about it there, Dan, and about Stephen Bradley. Is he showing a certain naivety when talking about five-year plans, that he's part of that? He's such a central figure alongside Stephen MacPhail and Cronin and Duff, and everybody gets somewhat excited about Shamrock Rovers. And that's the right way for the club to go. But for him as manager, he needs to remember he's front and centre. He lives and dies by the results right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's naivety from his point of view, because I think he was generally appointed under that basis, that he was part of some plan, or the project is the term that keeps getting used and probably thrown back in their face. But I think, you know, there were some strange comments at the start of the season about how he felt that this wasn't their year to challenge, that, you know, Dundalk and Cork were maybe too far ahead. I mean, you know, Waterford have put into this league and shown this year that you can make inroads in the space of one season. I mean, Dundalk and Cork, after one, two seasons under their respective managers, they were up there and challenging. I realise that they've opened up a gap, but I just overheard the second part of your discussion there with the lads. I just don't think he's really found an identity or a clear sort of way of playing with the team. I don't think they've recruited particularly well, and I think in certain matches their game management, they've shown him maybe a naivety on the pitch. You mentioned that opening game against Bowes, they were 1-0 up and tried to close it out and weren't clever enough to close it out and didn't really play good football. They changed to two up front. I think last night they were 1-0 down. You watch Dundalk tonight and there's a sort of a clarity in terms of what they're doing. You watch Rovers sometimes and you don't really get that.
Dan, you're having to fight it out there with the halftime entertainment.
Yeah. I don't know which is more entertaining.
We might come back to you in a couple of minutes, Dan, when it quietens down a bit there. Just on that then, so going to Tala, it is very noticeable that they don't really know how to impose themselves on a team, that this isn't a Shamrock Rovers side that say, this is how we play. And you look at the centre midfield of Bulger and Finn, which on paper and on reputation should be one of the best central midfield pairings in the country. Doesn't seem to be happening for them right now. Take Graham Burke out of it, there's not a lot of flair there either. How does he change this? How as a young manager does he go about actually improving this and turning them into a top three team again?
I think what they're lacking, Nathan, more than anything, is a little bit of hunger, like, you know, a bit of, you know, something in their belly. They don't seem to have that about them at all. And like I say, I don't.
Does that go back to what you were saying about having a five-year plan? That
helping your managers out
there
saying, "Look, you know, this is a five-year plan. We're not really expected to do anything for the next 3 or 4 years." That's what players hear. That's what players hear. Like, you know, there's no hunger expectation. It's a huge club, Shamrock Rovers, huge club, and they've effectively been a third or a fourth place team for the last since Michael O'Neill has left the football club. And you know, even though they've done great work in the background with underage, the underage teams aren't doing particularly better either. You know, there seems to be this sort of something is amiss at the club. Like, you know, I think structures and development plans need to be, you know, put to the side, and he needs to focus on the team right now, because they're in a bit of a rut at the moment. They really are starting to struggle. You can see that the confidence is starting to go out of the side as well. He just needs to get them by the scruff of the neck and say, listen, you know, let's go and start winning games. And I think he tried to do that last night before the Bray game, and it didn't happen. So it's now very, very worrying for them that they can come off the back of a result against Bowes, go to Bray, bottom team, and get turned over there as well.
Let's talk about a couple of the other Dublin clubs, because it's been a pretty exciting week. So Shelburne's takeover is nearing completion. Former director at Shamrock Rovers, Andrew Doyle, is about to assume ownership of the club. Dave Henderson has today been appointed as head of recruitment. Dave O'Connor, who's just 26, former League of Ireland player, has a sports management degree. He's the club's new CEO. And this comes on the back of St. Pat's unveiling plans for a new stadium, 12,000-seater stadium, the Richmond Arena. Let's go back to Dan in Limerick. Dan, that all sounds very, very positive. There's always that sense with the League of Ireland, we have to treat any good news with an air of caution, in a sense that, well, none of this is ever going to happen. But looking at Shells in the news today, does this feel like something quite tangible, that this is going to signify a turnaround at Shelburne?
I think that there's people there with good intentions about doing so. I mean, Shuri knows more than anyone how far that club has fallen, I guess, and drifted. The big thing last year was they've effectively cleared their debts, the debts that were a legacy of the Ollie Byrne era, and they needed new investment, and they've now got it. They've got people coming in who aren't firefighting. They're coming in with almost a clean slate, and I'm trying to get that club going again. Yeah. And I gather their plans are very much about community stuff, about striking a partnership with DCU, which is going to be vital for players. And you mentioned Dave Henderson in terms of recruitment, and I think bringing some energy to the club that has lost it. They are going to Daly Mount. That's still contentious. That's not going to change. But when you speak about identity and how clubs need to find it, particularly in Dublin, and Shells have been struggling, but maybe just the new voices are what's needed to try and galvanise that sort of latent support that is there and was there during the good times.
And maybe following the example of Bohemians and tapping into the local community and establishing a greater link with the local community is really important for Shelburne if all this is to work out. On St. Pat's then, Dan, you were writing about the possibility of this new stadium and asking, does Dublin really need three state-of-the-art League of Ireland grounds? When you look at the current attendances, I guess the attendances are never going to go up unless we do get these state-of-the-art grounds that, all right, they may have only 3,000 now, but suddenly if you have facilities, if people can go and have a nice relaxing drink and maybe a bit of food, you can start thinking about getting up to five figures.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it. I think like the 12,000 thing has been given too much play. Like that, I mean, that could be reduced by planning anyway. It's just a figure. I think the concept of having a modern stadium, you should always hope for the best case scenario, because Mutala was 3,000 when it started, then 6,000, and yet it hasn't been big enough to host some events that are there. There's stadiums around Europe, like Bate Borisov have a 12,000-seater stadium, but it's only full for big European games. It's not full for regular league games. So I think people focus on that and they missed the point. It's about having a modern venue in a part of Dublin with a pretty, you know, that's pretty densely populated, and giving it something to strive for. And I think that's the real. Now, they've a long way to go to realise that, but I don't think the actual thinking behind it is that illogical.
All right, Dan, we'll let you go. Enjoy the second half there. Dundalk leading Limerick by 2-0. Stewie, your thoughts then on Shells, a club very close to your heart. You've had some incredible nights with them. It's been in pretty dire state for several years now.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Stuck in Division 1, which is no man's land for any club. From what you've heard within the club, what are your expectations?
I've kind of known about a few things for a while now. I think what Dan said is correct. I think the debt was a huge monkey off the club's back. And that's something that's only now been cleared in the last 6 months or so. And that's kind of given them a new lease of life. And they're now in a position to, you know, try to look forward and try to, you know, first of all, get the team back into the Premier Division, which is really, really important. I can't stress that enough. They have to get out of that division because the difference between the First Division and the Premier Division is absolutely huge. What I would say is that there is no shortage of people, either past or present, that have been associated with the club that would love to get involved and would love to see Shelburne get back to where they were before.
Did you get involved?
that's a great. I would get involved, yeah, and I've that's something I would have said before to other people, and I know of other people, people who are well thought of in the game, who would be the same. And I'm delighted to see what's going on here. I think Dave Henderson has got great experience going into that scouting role. Obviously had experience with Pat Fenlon going to Hibernian. He knows the league, he knows good players, he knows how to spot a good player. And young David O'Connor, he's going to have to grow a thick skin quite quick, but better.
That's the one, isn't it? Yeah, that just jumps out you straight away, 26-year-old, He has played, of course, with that, but that's... That experience, yes, you might be thinking it's going to stand him in good stead, but realistically, this is a different world.
Listen, there's been plenty of old men running football clubs into the ground.
Absolute animals out there, but maybe he can defeat Braun with brains. Seems to be a clever lad, but best of luck to him. But there's no shortage of people in the background that be willing to get involved and help out and try and get the club back to where they should be.
Where is the community that Shells can tap into? So you look at Bowles and they're doing a very good job at Phibsborough and in Caber and around there and getting people involved and getting to the heart of that community. Is it out around Drumcondra, Raheny, Clontarf out there? Or have they been left behind by the GAA teams out there, which seem to be incredibly well organised?
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to be competing with the GAA. So you can't really do much about that, to be quite honest. But when I was there, that's where it was. It was Fairview, Drumcondra, Glasnevin, Clontarf. I still believe there is a fan base there. And then of course there's a legacy base in Ringsend, where the club was originally from. They're not old enough that they haven't forgotten all about it. So there's definitely a fan base to tap into. And that's something that you brought up the Bowes model of trying to work on that whole match day experience, which has been hugely successful for them, and that's a line of thought that they probably need to follow as well.
Harry Kane has given.
Sorry, I wasn't ignoring you there. Harry Kane's put Tottenham in front. Yeah, bad mistake from Bong, the fullback, and he allowed Son just to get along the byline. They actually Brighton were claiming it went out of play, but he managed to get his head up, little shift of his feet, and Harry Kane's put them in front. Yeah, that definitely was his goal actually.
In the two games in the League of Ireland, then second half underway, Turners Cross, Cork City 0, Sligo Rovers 0, and Dundalk 2-0 up away at Limerick.
Brian have just got a penalty as well, so.
We'll come back to that in a moment. Mm. It's quite a run Dundalk are suddenly on, where 11 games in, they've only conceded one goal, and we've become so used to giving the plaudits to Stephen Kenny for what they've achieved over the past couple of years, but having had so many players leave the club and constant turnover of players over the last 18 months, 2 years. What's he done this season? Is it just that they've had a steadier core, or has he just bought well?
I think he always signs well. He spots a good player. He's very good at bringing in players that are maybe haven't had a great experience elsewhere, and just building them up again, lifting them, giving them confidence, and giving them the freedom to go and express themselves again. I think he's done that with Hoban, and he's brought in a few more that he's helped. Now I've seen them a few times, Nathan. I don't think they're at their They're nowhere near their best. I think there's more to come from them, I have to say. I haven't made my mind up yet. Having seen Cork and Dundalk this season, I can kind of pick holes in both.
Where are the holes in Dundalk?
I think the key for Dundalk, just to go back to your point earlier, is that this time last year was a disaster for them. They had a disastrous 6 or 7 weeks in April, early May.
Found themselves too far behind.
Threw it away, just completely gone. Then they went on this wonder run. I think there's more consistency about them at the moment. I would say they've learned from that experience. They've particularly strengthened at the back. So there's competition for places there. I mean, Brian Gartland is still to come back. I was only speaking to him against Shamrock Rovers. He's had a torrid time, absolute torrid time with injuries and infections and had to have a medical procedure done. So, he'll be a new player when he comes back and probably has to go through another couple of weeks of pre-season almost for him again. But they've strengthened at the back, so there's competition for places there. They're playing good stuff. There's a big lift behind the football club, obviously with the new ownership. Graham Bourne, physical conditioning coach, has gone in there full time. So I think that really sends those signals to the players that, this is a long-term plan. I want to be here. I want to stay here. I want to be part of this.
And investing in the right places as well, not just throwing money at players.
I think players like to be, they like to feel wanted and they like to be part of something that they know that, something's going on, something's happening here. Yeah. I can win things here. Something's happening here. It's a great fan base in the football club. When you look at what's happening in recent years in terms of European football, you know, who wouldn't want to be part of that? You know, that's what it's about. When you retire, you know, from football, you don't look back at how much money I earned there or that. You look back at certain nights. I don't know why you're different, Kev, but yeah, you know, no, that true. Like, oh, remember that it's night true. Against, you know, that cap or whatever, that game.
And mouth over there in the corner trying to take the piss there, but anyway, go on.
What do you look back at, Nathan?
Nailed me there. Yeah. He has nailed me there. Here, just before you go then, you talk about possible holes then in both Dundalk and Cork. Are they holes that they're going to fix as the season goes on?
Yeah.
Or does it give an opportunity to Derry, who've now won 7 in a row, even Waterford, I know, have slipped up over the last couple of games?
Yeah, it does, but it's that window is closing quickly, you know, because obviously they're going to start hitting their stride. European football is not a million miles away. But yeah, you certainly think that Dundalk are getting better and better. Cork, obviously with the likes of Sadlier and McNamee, really starting to hit it off, those two as well. Cummins banging in the goals, so they're just going to get better and better. So I can just see those two going head-to-head, you know, and Thurn Ford is obviously between the Waterford Derry Rovers.
All right, good stuff. Thanks a lot for coming in, Stu. I know it's sacrilege to talk Premier League when we're doing the League of Ireland slot, but Brighton equalised within probably, what, Kev, 90 seconds of Spurs going in front of the penalty.
Pascal Gross finished it beyond Hugo Lloris, so yeah, it's 1-1 here.
All right, so Brighton 1, Spurs 1, 52 minutes gone there. Football Show is up next.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.